Hey, folks, Jeff again. This is the second hour of our inaugural episode of The Left Show. Joining me in studio for this hour are Forrest Shaw and Eric Ethington.
We now rejoin The Left Show, already in progress.
Before you showed up, we were talking about how Schumacher ruined Batman.
Yes.
And George Clooney, who I believe could have been the best Bruce Wayne of all time, ended up looking like an ass.
That was horrible. That was really bad. And Val Kilmer, and that was bad too. It was
Val Kilmer, worst Batman of all time. I do not think there's been anyone worse.
And he's so good, but it was so bad.
He's terrible.
I like Val Kilmer.
I like Val Kilmer too.
I think he's a fantastic actor. But that Batman was horrible.
No.
I don't know. Look at The Saint. Look at Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Val Kilmer.
I hate him. I like those movies, but I hate him. Sorry. Just something about his little Weasley looks.
Well, you don't have to like him, I guess.
He did a weird FBI thing with Christian Slater not too many years back that was... I can't for the life of me. Hang on. We have the internet. Talk amongst yourselves.
I remember that. It was one of those shows with Christian Slater opening up the show with a weird monologue.
Was it The Saint?
Talking to the camera.
No. That was Cuffs.
Was that what that was?
Yeah, it had Mila Jovovich in it.
Comic-Con.
Of course, I suppose half of Christian Slater's stuff opens up with him giving a monologue to the camera. But
now, Val Kilmer played the specter of Elvis in True Romance.
Didn't see it. Sorry.
Wow.
I hang my head in shame.
You should. That was a great movie. In fact,
Mindhunters? Was it Mindhunters?
Mindhunters, yes. You got there quicker than I did. No, the little xylophone music I did in the convention video, yeah, was the love theme from True Romance.
Huh.
I noticed that.
Yeah. The opening guitar was from Deadwood. So I basically used music from inappropriate movies to score that little video.
So was there anything in this campaign you didn't cop from something?
I don't write orchestral pieces. I don't have an orchestra to play shit I write.
Even the graphics, our buttons were the Captain America shield.
Now that we're going public with my various copyright violations. The Captain America shield, I think, is perfect for a good kind of democratic symbol. I always have. So that's why it was back there in a half tone, and I flipped a couple of the colors so that it was not actually a copyright violation.
Pink stripes instead of white, as I recall.
Well, they were supposed to be red, and then I half toned it, and they went pink, and I went, it still looks good. And when I told people, they're like, wait, this looks familiar. I'm like, it's Captain America's shield. People are like, I'm putting that on.
I was too busy watching you to watch the video, to be honest. I was going, oh, man, he's going to blow. He's going to blow.
I did. My anger management issues came screaming right to the surface. That was a bad 10 minutes.
Well, there was that moment because Jim was supposed to go second. We had the agreement with the Comstock campaign with Ernie McMillan over there that we were going to go second because Comstock did not want to try and follow us because he was only going to have, 10 people on stage.
Yeah.
Which we agreed to. And then apparently what happened was the agenda had already been written up. So Justin Daniels over at the party rewrote the agenda the night before and passed them all out. The new agenda is the day of, and apparently Wayne just kind of ignored it. So when Wayne announces Jim is going first, me and Ernie McMillan just eyes from across the room.
You know that's not his last name.
Ah, shit. What is it? I know it's Ernie M. Ernie, I'm sorry, man, if you listen to this. I adore you.
So they didn't draw the straws then? It didn't happen like that?
It's supposed to be that, but they never could get the two candidates in the same room at the same time, so they just kind of flipped for them.
Why couldn't they get those two guys in the same room?
Well, Comstock is a teacher and just couldn't get down to do it at the times Jim had time open.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, it wasn't anything malicious at all. It was just, he's a busy guy.
But they were both there all morning long.
Well, the coin flip was supposed to happen like a week before convention, before they print everything up for it. Because they also, the coin flip also determines your the order of the ballot.
I'm probably saying it wrong, but his last name's Gaminol.
God, you're right.
Yep.
Who the hell is Ernie McMillan?
I don't know. Ernie McMillan. I'll look it up.
Ernie McMillan, will you please call me and let me know who you are, because I'm subbing your name in for somebody that I shouldn't.
Hey, there is one. He was apparently an athlete, and six people on Facebook like him.
Ernie Gaminol is who I meant.
Yeah. Ernest Charles McMillan was born in 1938 and was an offensive tackle. Played 15 seasons in the NFL with the Cardinals and the Packers.
Sounds like somebody I would obviously know.
Yeah, that's right in your demographic.
I am a huge sports person. What could I say?
Yes, a sports person.
He's got his big head on the wall.
I do. There are pictures of me in a cheese head, but that's only because my new father-in-law comes from Wisconsin or wherever.
Before we move into something a little more serious, your father-in-law,
yes,
reminds me of the guy who played Lorelai's dad on Gilmore Girls. He's just got that that well-tended, nice. He seems like a kind man. I've only seen a picture.
I love it. No, that actually, now that you say it, that actually totally works. It does. And he would be mortified to hear you say that, but that totally actually works.
So it's not a compliment then.
Copper boom.
Copper boom.
Yeah, I'm up on my Gilmore Girl references. Thank you very much.
So there
you
go. We are now in the welcome to the second hour of the Left Show. We had John, Jake in the last hour. We recorded that one yesterday because Jake, as we speak, is on his way to see the Steve Miller Band play live.
Screw him.
I know. And he threatened to sing at us yesterday. And my joke for John is that he's celebrating the 12-year, 9-month anniversary of the last time he got laid. Happy birthday, Angus.
Happy birthday, Angus.
Happy birthday.
So that's where they are. And so we recorded them yesterday, which means that we get a cleaner show. We get an hour there. We get an hour now. And that's, I think, going to work out better than trying to stick all five of us on at the same time.
Save the best for last, huh?
Yes. Let's say that. I'm okay. I'm whore enough to say stuff like that. So joining me in studio here today, Forrest Shaw.
Hello again.
And Eric Ethington from PrideInUtah.com.
I am the master.
I am the doctor.
This is my empire.
This is my empire. That's why we're in my basement.
Well, we are in your basement.
But that's where the studio is. It's, you know, if we were up in my kitchen, nobody'd hear any of this. So we talked in the last hour a lot about, we talked about the debt, and Jake, I think, because he's not here to defend himself, really made himself come across as kind of a douche, especially when, you know, oh, well, if you take away $60 billion in subsidies to the oil folks, then gas will crash, because Jake apparently believes that people will stop driving if we take away $60 billion over the next few years.
In Jake's defense, it wasn't gas will crash, it's the dollar will crash.
Oh.
And the oil market, their stocks will go down, and that will eventually crash the economy. And he was playing devil's advocate, you know? I like him there.
Well, no, and he's fine to play devil's advocate. He just needs to be less silly.
That was a reach. He usually doesn't reach that far. That was a bit far.
Hey, look, when the United States, when the value of the United States dollar went below that of Canada, and yet as we sit in this room of mine full of at least 3,000 books, all of which have Canadian prices on books being $2, $3, or $4 more expensive because their dollar's not worth as much. You know, it, that to me was the first warning sign that we have a problem in our economy. And we have all of that money that all of these businesses have are stockpiling and waiting to see what'll happen. And they're getting their tax breaks and they're getting their subsidies and they're getting their corporate welfare. And in the meantime,
dodging taxes. That's one thing we haven't even talked about on this show is the way that they just,
and we're probably not going to get to it today,
dodge them,
because we need a whole hour for that. We need an hour and a half for that, I think, because I've read your screes on them before and you can go on. But so yeah, to finish making fun of Jake, we talked about that yesterday, today, and again, this will be another 24 hours really before anybody hears it, but and so I don't know what's going to happen after, but apparently the talks on the debt ceiling have broken down again today, and Boehner is, I don't know, he's out there. His messaging for the most part is, you know, well, the president's just not taking seriously how many homeless poor people and old people we really want. And until he's serious about making more homeless people and upping crime for people that can't feed their children, well, the Republicans just aren't going to take any of this seriously. And I swear on that by my orange skin.
And they want a dollar-for-dollar match for a limit to the debt ceiling to cuts. And they will not accept any kind of tax hike.
Yeah.
Which is just silly. So, yeah, okay. Now, the reason I went into this before we decided to make fun of Jake and actually try and turn it into a topic, which we're not going to do, is other historic things have happened in the last few days, including a very important piece of paper righting one of the wrongs, in my opinion, of the end of the Clinton administration. When you talk about social change, signing Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a monumental shift in institutional thinking, especially in our nation's military and government. However, by the end of the Clinton administration, I think that we should have been able to repeal that and have an open serving policy. That's me. And, you know, for all of the mistakes that Clinton made, this was one that politically at the time, because of chubby interns, he really couldn't get on top of. And had he not, I'll say, not lied about Lewinsky, because I think he could have gotten away with that cocky swagger of his, where he's just like, yeah, I tapped that hot intern. She's a chubby girl. I like chubby girls. I'm Bill Clinton. Thank you very much. And, you know, instead of lying about it and it turning into whatever. But so he really didn't have the, how does Michelle Bachmann say chutzpah?
She can't say chutzpah.
Chick spot? Something like that. He didn't have that political clout anymore. I mean, he managed to, you know, roll back our debt and to put us into surplus as far as our national, you know, debt outlook went and our deficit went. We were headed into positive money flow to revenues where everybody could get a tax cut regardless of whatever. But that one stayed. And then it stayed during the Bush administration, because if there's one thing Republicans like, it's not liking people that are, you know, non-white, non-Christian, non-douchey, non-anything other than them, non-Old Testament. If you can't fit into their Old Testament-y Christianity, even though the Old Testament happened a long time before Christ was born, you know, then that's what we've got. So the piece of paper was signed sometime in September, and I will pull this up in just a sec when you guys start talking.
The piece of paper.
The full repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
December.
I thought it was September.
It was December. It was during the lame duck session.
Keep talking.
Was the
Well, no, he signed the bill this weekend.
Right. Yeah. What I'm saying is the initial repeal was passed during the lame duck session of Congress last year in 2010, run by Congressman Patrick Murphy, was who put that forward, who is, by the way, one of my absolute heroes. And if you are one of our fantastic Pennsylvania listeners, please jump on board, because he got kicked out of Congress pretty much for that bill, and he's now running for attorney general back there. So sign on board with that man. So basically the way the repeal worked was, it wasn't just an instant repeal, which is kind of what everyone on the left wanted, and But everyone on the right fought so hard that they said, okay, what we won't do is not an instant repeal, but we're going to turn it over to the military, and they get a chance to go through and train everybody.
Right, they wanted to train and evaluate and question before. They just wanted some time. They wanted buffer zone before they
let it go. Which, you know, annoys me, but at the same time, all right, I can get over with waiting for a few months. They wanted the Secretary of Defense, which at the time was Robert Gates, and they wanted Admiral Mike Mullen, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and President Obama to sign off on the repeal process, saying that the military is now ready before the implementation of repeal would actually take effect. And that kind of got dragged out a lot further than it was supposed to. It was supposed to be done within 3 months.
Yeah, it was 90 days, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was
a 90-day review process.
It wasn't actually in the bill that there was a specified time limit, but that was what everybody said to expect. Okay. That was what the military, all the Joint Chiefs, they said expect 90 days is how long this is going to take. It didn't. It got dragged out. There were discharges.
We had to deal with the fact that there was McCain acting the old crotchety angry man. Completely,
I know,
flipped
the military. You
sure,
don't.
But he flipped on his position of what, a decade ago, before the Karl Rove basically destroyed the McCain soul.
Yeah,
is you that know. What happened to him? Because
look,
he's,
the guy,
he's,
oh yeah,
John McCain.
I liked him, and he's batshit crazy now. I mean, I really liked him.
It was Karl Rove in that Black Baby Whisper campaign they ran against
the
him
Black
during
Baby,
the,
yeah,
during the 2000 election.
Yeah, because John McCain from the 90s was a pretty stand-up guy. I bought his biography, or his autobiography. I paid attention to him. I liked him.
He was all mavericky for real.
Well, yeah.
I was thinking about voting for him.
But I think the biggest example of McCain and his loss of touch with, if you'll pardon the phrase, his McCainness was when he rolled over and flip-flopped, or as I call it, Mitt Romney'd his stance on torture. Because he was all an anti-torture guy. He was tortured. He was POW. He was tortured. He's like, torture sucks. We shouldn't do it. And then as we continued and escalated with extraordinary rendition and torture and dropping people off with people that would torture for us, and then the CIA started to torture, and then apparently the FBI got in on the act, and they were trying to make soldiers and Marines do it, and all of that, and McCain's all, no. And then as it got bigger and bigger and darker and more of a stain on our flag, McCain's finally like, well, you know, whatever we got to do.
Yeah.
So now he's torturing us. That's fantastic. Oh, yeah. That's great.
And he was just absolutely embarrassing himself in the last few months of the 2010 Congress.
All of these guys that stayed in the military, you know, from Vietnam on, that have their general stars now. And he's all, I know the military. And they're like, yeah, well, we've kind of been around a lot more recently than you.
Yeah.
You know, so we kind of know the military, too. That's why I'm wearing uniform to today's hearing, Senator. And you're sitting over there acting like an ass.
And he was still sticking to the point that don't ask, don't tell actually was just that. The military wasn't ever asking, and if nobody ever told, then nobody would ever find out. And when presented with, you know, dozens and dozens of documented cases that, hey, here's a man who, you know, was spotted at a bar by somebody else and who ran and told his commander, and then his commander sat him down and grilled him on it.
Yeah.
To do that. And he just, you know, there's still that video. I loved it. It was Carrie Elleveld. Who's one of the reporters at the Advocate magazine. There's that great video of her drilling him and saying, what about this man who had this happen to him? What about this man who had this happen to him? And he's just sitting in his chair in the back of the Senate offices going, it's not happening. It's not happening. I know the military. Oh, and she's sitting there, Senator McCain, I have got documentation from the military right here saying it happened. That's a lie. It didn't happen. It was just the most embarrassing. I felt so bad for the man. I really did. It was just, look how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, no kidding. Talk about the downfall of a real American hero, John McCain. There you go.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Basically, you know, the implementation and the quote-unquote training dragged on for months and months. It was supposed to get signed on off in either June or I think it was May or June.
But it happened this weekend, right?
Yeah, right before Robert Gates left office. But yes, it just happened over the weekend. President Obama finally signed the repeal. It ended up being 7 months to the day since Obama signed the initial repeal bill. So basically what that means is it's 60 days until the repeal takes effect and LGBT people can serve openly. So
now, for those that did take a minute and listen to our show, our one of our practice shows, I think it was last week.
Yeah.
Was Jake on last week? When Jake was in the Marine Corps when Don't Ask, Don't Tell popped up, and he admitted freely, you know, he was a ridiculous homophobe at the time, and he was pissed off that it had happened, and blah, blah, unit cohesion and all that. And he was worried on the same talking points because, you know, that was a certain bit of culture. And then finally he said, and you guys can go back and listen to that, but that he's like, you know what, not only was it wrong to think that, you know, is it the bill was wrong, because then it got turned into a weapon.
And it did, and
where some guy that's mad at a corporal, or a lance corporal's mad at a corporal or a sergeant, and can go and narc him off like that and get him thrown out, even though, you know, there was nothing. It ended up turning into a really bad thing, and he's seems to be quite delighted with the fact that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going away and that people could serve openly. And I've always been of the opinion that if you're willing to die for your country and you're big enough and strong enough to do it, yeah, you should be able to do it. And I don't
absolutely
care.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no way around that. That's
that, however, yeah, does not make the joke
the
about
joke
Michelle Bachmann's husband, oh, who God calls Top Gun the volleyball movie any less funny.
All right, the first Marine. I'm gonna just, okay.
It's the volleyball movie.
The first Marine injured in Iraq and Afghanistan in this war. At 2003, they declare war. They go over. The very first Marine injured, sent home, receives, I believe, the Purple Heart or the Bronze Star, you know, receives one of the high awards. I'm sorry, I don't know what they're called. I believe his name is Eric Salva. As he's in the hospital at home, or at least back here in the States recuperating, he gets narked out by one of his fellow soldiers, and he's discharged. It's just, welcome.
What?
Yeah, because, you know, he's obviously not a good enough soldier to be over there.
Mm-hmm. What was the...
And there was the whole issue where, like, all the... Like, not all, but a lot of the enlisted people could speak Arabic were gay.
Yeah.
And they were getting canned, and we didn't have anybody to speak Arabic.
Yeah.
That Asian fella,
Lieutenant Dan Choi.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And he was apparently an incredible linguist. Mm-hmm. But
they did. They did a study that came out. They said that from when Don't Ask, Don't Tell started in 92, 93.
Well,
92 or 93. 90,
it was 92 because
it was
92. I mean, it was in the first 30 days of Clinton.
That's
being
right.
In
that's
office.
Right. Went from the time that happened until now when it was repealed, there have been almost 20,000 soldiers discharged under that. Of those 20,000 soldiers discharged, the vast majority of them were labeled with mission critical skills. Whether that was, you know, mission critical with the current war, meaning they were linguists or they had, you know, intimate knowledge about what was going on. These were people just absolutely vital.
Well, and
to these
from what I understand with Lieutenant Dan Choi, that he was
unnamed Lieutenant Dan.
He was ridiculously good at his job.
Yeah,
and so you come back to that analogy that most likely it was somebody's petty bullshit jealousy, and the. You know, they're fighting for promotion or they want the captain's attention or whatever. And so they'll go ahead and take out the guy that's more talented than them. So hopefully, you know, they can go back to, what was it from A Few Good Men? Code Red. We can go back to beating the hell out of each other in the middle of the night when somebody's a jerk and not so much getting them booted out of, yeah, especially mission critical places.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's, I'm glad it's over.
I'm glad it's over.
Dun, dun, dun. It's got nothing to do with me.
I think I'm okay with it being over.
It means you can get drafted now.
Oh, God.
Oh.
You know, there were a few people coming out and saying we shouldn't, like, on LGBT people coming out and saying we shouldn't repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because at least it's keeping us out of the wars. Going that, which I'm like, okay, that's an interesting point, but no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You'd be one of those who's polishing up your fake Canadian passport.
Yeah.
And how long has it been since the draft was instated?
Since the 70s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These are the same people, though, who are saying we shouldn't be fighting for marriage equality because they don't want to get married. I was like, great. I don't know if I'm going to ever get married either, but don't. I do never want the government fucking telling me what I can or cannot do.
Hey, we're trying
do.
Not to say the F word anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thanks for the heads up.
It was on last week's podcast. It's all we talked about was how we kept having to throw money in the swear jar.
Yes, I listened.
What a dick.
Shut up.
Oh. So
sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry.
So now my question is, and I guess this is just sort of a question into the universe because we're not live yet.
Okay.
But it's how about all these folks that did get chased off? If they're still eligible, they're still in shape, and they still want to serve, do they get to come back in? I mean, if their discharge was a general discharge based on, I think, when you got booted out under a don't ask, don't tell violation.
It was a dishonorable discharge.
Was it dishonorable? It wasn't
yes.
a general?
But as far as I'm aware, it's a little fuzzy about whether or not that's going to actually preclude these former soldiers.
Hey, for any of you
Lieutenant
guys,
Dan, didn't he go back? Immediately, six months ago, and they didn't let him back in because he was like a month too old or something like that.
What happened, because you remember Don't Ask, Don't Tell has actually been repealed like six or seven times now. Only once actually by an act of Congress, but it's been repealed six or seven times by the courts who've come in and said,
Activist judges.
Yeah, this is unconstitutional, and they've just cut it off right there. And in those small, slim periods between when the courts had shut it down and the Department of Justice went in and filed for stays on the orders, people had tried to go in. Lieutenant Dan was Dan Choi was one of them. He went back in, tried to enlist for the Marines.
It's hard not to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, but at that point, he was too old.
Lieutenant Dan.
He went in and he enlisted for the Army instead.
So is he in?
No, they didn't accept his application because at that point the DOJ had filed their stay orders, so Don't Ask, Don't Tell was back in place.
So maybe
we don't know yet. We don't know the answer to that one yet.
We don't. We'll find out on September 20th.
I'm just saying, yeah, it's with worst comes to worse or best comes to best, depending on whether or not you like ice cream and air conditioners. I know he could get an easy language berth in the Air Force. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Does he want to wear his stripes upside down? You heard me, Air Force. Air conditioners and ice cream.
I am so lost.
I like air conditioners.
Jake, right now, when he hears this, is going to be laughing his ass off. Because we like to make fun of the Air Force because they have what they call a cushy berth. It's they're all fighting men and women, and we're proud of each and every one of them. But the Air Force has it pretty good because they get to live so far away from, you know, where, say, like Marines do. So
sure. Yeah. And it's always good to do the show for the benefit of one person, especially
a
co-host.
We have if I'm reading our download metrics right, we're hitting a lot of military areas.
We're pulling
a lot out of Texas for some reason. I know five or six people in Texas, and one of them's listened to the show.
I'm very big in Texas.
You're big in got to be a song there. It's got to be some kind of TV show.
The stars
we're night. Being surveillanced is what we're doing if we're big in Texas, I think.
Nah, you know what? It looks like it's all
right,
coming
these
out.
These guys are nuts.
The IPs seem to be laying down in Austin and Dallas-Fort Worth. If we were out in Houston, I'd start to worry about it. Or when, because we broadcast out of Salt Lake City, so we're getting a new NSA building.
That's true.
Sometime, if it's not, I doubt, I mean, it's not like they put out press releases.
Yeah, they won't tell us.
It's finished.
It'll just go up.
Yeah. So I don't know if it started or not, but when I start getting a mass hit, you know, I think they're probably going to build that down in the Lehigh Alpine Highland area where Micron is. So we will watch for that. If I start pulling into Highland, it either means that Gail Rizik has lost her mind and is listening to the show over and over again in a paralyzing fit of, you know, rage and confusion. You heard me, Gail. I'm friends with one of Gail's kids, and she likes it when I make fun of her mom. So,
well, you know, every time I post over at Pride in Utah, you know, I have a very large IP address hits from the church office building. Mormon church guys just like reading what I write.
So. Sure. Well, you've been a pain in their ass for a few years now.
You know, I try and tell people I am not anti-Mormon. I'm not. I couldn't care less about the Mormon church. They can, like any other religion to me, you know, as an atheist, whatever, do your own thing. You know, my only question is, does it make you happy? Yes, it does. Great. Go do it. I just need policies that hurt people to stop. That's
well,
all.
And that's it. Does it make you happy? Yes. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Does it hurt anybody else? Yes. Okay.
Then I need you to stop. Yeah. If it makes you happy and it doesn't hurt anybody else, do it. I don't care. You know, enjoy your freedom of religion. I think it's a big part of the Constitution. I think it's great. You know, have I made this clear enough
you
yet?
You can take that past think because it is a big part.
Yeah.
It's a factual big part.
It's in what, the first or the
now,
second?
Yeah,
or
you,
third?
Like a guy like Herman Cain, you know, who's that just asshat running for president or running for the Republican nomination.
The pizza guy?
Yeah, he's the one who says that we ought to outlaw Islam, no more mosques built in America. His freedom of religion is you can pick whatever vanilla flavor of Christianity you like. Everybody else can kiss his ass. And I'll bet you deep down inside he probably hates the Catholics too.
Do you watch him on Meet the
Press? I'm sure he does. Yeah, that guy is.
No, I gave up on Meet the Press when they put, what's his name on?
I don't know.
When Russert died and Gregory. The last thing in the world. Look, I tried to watch last week. Last morning. What I don't need is a multimillionaire jumping on the GOP talking points that poor people should continue to bail rich people out of the economic problems that the rich people got us in the first place.
Remember, not rich people, job creators.
We're going to get the swear jar back out if we're going to use that label again.
All right. Herman Cain was one of my two favorite news stories of the weeks, and The Daily Show did give both of these to me. I'm just going to admit it right up front. But
that's fine.
Whatever. But it was Herman Cain going on, I think it was Meet the Press, and talking about why he thought it was fine for the government to ban the building of mosques.
Fine. It seems to me he was saying it was constitutional, and that's exactly what we should be
doing.
Not that it was okay, but that's this is what we should be doing.
Now, to any rational person, the First Amendment...
Forrest?
Yes.
Eric just called you a rational person, I think.
I did.
You did?
I did.
Carry on.
Forrest is a rational person. In this instance, I reserve the right to open judgment again later. But to any rational person, the First Amendment would tell you that the government cannot stop somebody from building a place of worship or worshiping in your own way or, you know, whatever you want according to your religious beliefs. He, however, decided to use the First Amendment to say, well, the First Amendment says that we should not mix church and state. So, because Islam mixes politics and religion, that should be banned according to our Constitution. And then tried to.
That guy was nuts. He was so nuts.
I just, you know, I used to like Godfather's Pizza, but now I look at one and just think, wow, you know, I think the recipe is probably over 3 pages long, so I can't, you know, so I can't eat it. No one? Really?
Yeah.
Not a thing.
They had the taco pizza. That was good.
That was that whole, he doesn't like to read, I will veto any
bill. Oh, yeah.
That's okay. I dropped
that's
one last
racist.
Night.
I know it's racist for you to think that's racist, because that's your opinion, and you think that's what Stuart said out loud, where all Stuart was doing is going, this guy's an idiot. And they're like, well, that's racist. No, just because I call a man of color an idiot, that's, you know, there are pale, pasty idiots as well. Michelle Bachmann, the volleyball movie.
Volleyball!
It only took me, what, 10 minutes to get us back to Bachmann?
No, I'm fine. We can sit here and bash Bachmann all day long. I've got no problem with that at all.
Because she's my second favorite news story of the week.
Well, we'll get to that in a sec. For my Republican friends that whenever we mention the Constitution claim to not know what part we're talking about if we're not talking about the Second Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, over the last 10 years or so, we've watched the First Amendment take it in the shorts over and over and over again, especially if you were extraordinarily renditioned and you tried to sue the government for kidnapping you when you'd done nothing wrong and dropping you off in countries where you were tortured. And then the court says, no, we're not going to. No.
That's a myth. That never happened.
So, all right, Bachman, second favorite story of the week.
Oh, second. It was, all right. So you remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that pledge that she and Tim Pawlenty signed.
Yes.
It was, I pledge to ban gay marriage. I pledge to ban pornography.
What did they call that? The morality pledge?
Something like that.
The whatever. The I'm a douchebag idiot pledge.
I'm white, wacky, and Republican pledge.
I swear I believe in Jesus. Well, in the original version of that pledge, which they signed while it was still like this, it had the words, I recognize that children of black people were better off during the years of slavery than they are now. Now, that caused so much controversy. A couple days later, that was removed from the pledge, but it was in there when they signed it.
It was. It really was in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bachman goes on to the news and just had this great moment where she says, now, please let me be clear. I don't support slavery. And Jon Stewart did say it best. And he said, you know, those explanations that don't help.
Yeah.
Explanations you should never give. I don't support slavery.
But?
I promise I'm not a witch.
But?
I swear I'm not a pedophile.
You know? That one was... Okay, that was one of mine.
These are explanations you should that do not help.
Here's the thing. Let's explore that pedophile angle real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't for the life of me remember. It was on Fox News, as I recall. But basically, it was a weird white Christian Republicans whining about, was it a lactation doll?
Yeah.
To explain to little girls why mommy was breastfeeding a new baby. Is basically the, look, I think it's creepy that you would, that any doll that leaks. But
in any way.
On purpose. But to me, okay, this is a tool to teach little girls why mommy's doing what mommy's doing with that new little thing that you're mad at and you don't understand. Because I've had that in my house. I've had a two-year-old that didn't understand why she wasn't the center of attention anymore. I get that. I think that that is a much better doll than a doll that shits or pees. Those sure. ones I can't stand. I mean, it's a doll that goes to the bathroom. And then your kids don't clean it up right because they're five, and then you got to sit there and scrape the goo out of a doll's anus because your kid didn't change the damn diaper fast enough.
Yeah, anyway.
So anyway, yeah, and so they had a, in one of those things in Fox News that just doesn't happen very often, the guest supporting sort of the rational side got a good cut in against this idiot doctor, quote, that was talking about, you know, all this does is sexualizes blah for little girls and blah blah and blah, and she's like, really, you think that a 3-year-old with a breastfeeding doll is sexual? Well, let me just state that I'm not a pedophile. He says,
that's right.
Whoa!
Her line. It was actually slightly better than that because I went back and rewatched it 4 times because I thought it was so great. She said, you know, honestly, I'd be a little more worried about anybody who thinks any type of sexual thoughts when thinking about little girls. Was the line?
I'm not a pedophile.
It was just perfect. Well, let me be clear. I'm not a pedophile. Let me assure you.
Going on. Creepy.
Way creepy. Creepy.
Hey, and on that creepy note, we're gonna take a break real quick. Okay, and then we're gonna come right back with the second half of this hour.
I'm gonna leave you with the other doll. The
poopy doll?
No, there was another doll that came out. It was the webcam doll.
Oh yes.
Oh, man.
That
I almost bought one of those for my kid because it's a Barbie and a camera. And as far as I'm concerned, the two mix just fine. I did not buy anybody's, creepy people will use this, because they're just, this is people thinking, what's creepy about this? Ooh, a creepy person could do this. I had looked at that camera, and I'm one of those people that is really on guard about things that bad people can do to children, and it makes me mad, and it makes me want to pummel and pound, and so I'm constantly on a hypervigilant alert that is exhausting because I live in a great neighborhood with great neighbors, you know, but you never know.
Sure.
So I'm constantly paranoid about my kids. And I looked at the Barbie webcam and went, holy shit, my kid will love this. That's what I thought. Whereas a Republican will look at it and go, oh, creepy people can use this to peek on people. And it's just like, okay, Senator Wide Stance, what in the hell is your problem with this camera now? No, look,
we got
to go to break.
You just called me a Republican. I looked at it and went, you've got to be kidding me. But then
I
live in Utah.
It wasn't a webcam. It was just a video camera.
No. There was the webcam Barbie. I don't know if it was a Barbie.
It had a USB, but it didn't actually, you couldn't use it as a webcam.
You
it
could.
It had to go into a hard drive.
You couldn't
as it. And
then
it had to be transferred over.
I'm actually with Forrest on this. You couldn't use it as is. As a webcam, but you know as easily as I do how simple it would be to modify that.
But it couldn't broadcast. It had to be attached to a computer. And how many kids do you know hook up their Barbie cam to a computer and then change their clothes at night?
I mean, and how many pedophiles are in this state? How many are
in
your neighborhood?
I'm just saying, I just thought it was much ado about nothing. I think that if anything, it gave the creepy people an idea on what the hell to do with the Barbie cam.
Okay, but you better apologize for calling me a Republican.
Yeah, you can take it any way you want. I didn't say you were a Republican.
I heard it. I want an apology.
All
right,
you're both.
I'm not going to stop talking. We're not taking a break.
I can't. I just got to hit this button right here.
No,
see?
I don't care.
Hello, friends. Jeff Bell here for Perfectly Priced Printing and Design. Perfectly Priced Printing and Design is your one stop for every printing, scanning, and design project you have. Let's start with picture scanning. How many pictures do you have in envelopes or drawers and boxes? All of those irreplaceable memories sitting vulnerable to the elements or disaster. Perfectly Priced Printing and Design can affordably scan those old photos, giving you both peace of mind and the ability to more easily share your precious memories with those you love. Perfectly Priced Printing also has nearly impossible to beat prices for almost any print job. This month's special is a 35% off postcard printing. 5,000 full-color, both-side postcards, normally almost $300, are now only $165. Do you need a design for that print job? A logo? A website? Any kind of corporate branding? Perfectly Priced Printing has got your back. Their design services are bold, professional, and best of all, affordable. Visit PerfectPriceprinting.com or call them today at 801-425-9917 for more information. That info again for this special podcast offer. PerfectPriceprinting.com or call them at 801-425-9917. Perfectly Priced Printing is the printer you've been looking for because they're big enough to do the job, but they're small enough to remember your name.
We now rejoin the Left Show, already in progress.
I thought it was just kind of funny.
I didn't think it was funny. I was going to punch you.
I didn't think it was funny either. But that's just me. Well, and you guys were having whatever the hell it is, the little snippy bits between you guys on Facebook that just crack me up.
Do we have snippy bits?
I never thought we were snippy.
Fine.
Snide, perhaps, but
you know
not
what?
Snippy.
To prep for the next show, I will try and remember to go back and read the exchange between you two when you got your feelings hurt because I had a spontaneous test recording. I'm all upset I didn't get invited, and he's all, you went to X96 instead of coming to your own show. Like, oh,
no, but
crap.
Then Jeff had his
that
own little
fun,
hissy
though.
Fit when I said, well, I wasn't invited to my own show.
That was a hissy fit.
And
that
then
was just
Jeff
like,
comes
was
on, he's like, hey, it's not your show,
no,
it's
that would
my
be like,
show.
That'd be my show. That'd be my show, is what
no,
I said.
No, Forrest and I, we had fun on chat the other night. He sent me, he said,
are we going to get the explicit label on our iTunes post?
He sent me a link to something, and I was like, oh my God, I don't think you've ever sent me anything on chat. He's like, well, I want to reach out more.
I did. I said that. I wanted to reach out more, and all right, well, don't, you know, I'll stop bugging.
Is this an area of experimentation that you're exploring because you missed it in college, or are you just trying to be friendly?
I didn't have chat in college. I don't know. Did you have chat when you went to college?
That
I mean, come on.
Definitely ducked, sir. That was very nice. You avoided my homophobic punchline there quite well.
I'm good for that.
You are good for that. You're good for that. You're also good for me, you know, setting me up to find them.
Yeah, well.
You got to have a sidekick.
I have a sidekick. He's 16 years old. He's deaf. He's actually not in the room right now, which is kind of weird, which means somebody in the house is eating food. Yeah.
So
show.
See, this is why I prefer this not being my show. I like being the guy who just kind of snipes from the side.
Yeah. No. It's fine. It's fun. You know, it's all on me.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate for anybody listening, I think. Yes. I don't know. I think that as we've gone from that first test, which was just awkward and strange. It had some good bits in the middle, but, you know. And then we went to the second test, and that was better. And we went to the third, and that was better. And then, I think, and that was last week's show. And then this week, the official launch of the Left Show, I'm feeling really comfortable with that. We had a solid hour yesterday. We got a solid 40 minutes so far. We've got 20 minutes for you guys to screw it up. I'll be perfect. I'm on my game. So, now, one of the things that we disagreed about, hang on, what am I looking at?
While Jeff's looking at this, I could mention that the last time Jeff was on my show, which I haven't done for months, but we got onto
it.
It was epic. We got onto, I'm pretty sure, a 15 to 20 minute tangent about doing drunk Sean Connery voices, which is actually...
Yeah, because you add an SH to every S sound, and that's how you do a Sean Connery accent.
That's right.
That's right.
That's all I have to do.
I couldn't do that. I'd have to work so hard to do that.
Red October standing by.
Standing by.
Yes.
Boy, you guys are terrible.
I can't do it. I didn't.
No, see, I don't want to do it well. That's the fun of doing a Sean Connery.
Hey, real quick, since we're sitting here, you got your computer open. Pull up that sheet of questions that we got on your wall, Forrest.
Sheet of questions?
Yeah.
Was that a Sean Connery sheet or
a sheet?
A sheet of questions.
I can go find it if you're confused.
From last night, right?
From earlier in the show.
Oh yeah, in the previous not hour. Last night, earlier, right? Right. Yeah, it's right here. Here we go.
Beep beep.
I do flip that around. I want to cover a couple of these. All right, we ask questions. And for some reason, and I don't know what it is, Forrest gets the most attention. It's because he's the prettiest one, bastard.
Hey.
It's true.
I'm the prettiest one.
I don't agree with this assessment.
You're a little gruffer. You can't be pretty and wear a beard at the same time.
I was thinking JC, but you know.
Look, all due respect, because I owe that dude my life. John Carter is not pretty.
No, it's true.
You know, he is uniquely handsome.
Uniquely to the one person he's dating.
Well, it's his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was married or not.
No, he's married.
I backed it off.
And he's got two kids. Yeah.
So which one of these questions were you going to...
Well, I'm
going to
look at it. We went through a couple, and I just want you guys to know that we're seeing them and we're reading them, and they're awfully local. And it's not that we don't love our local politics. We find them funny, and it's a good baseline for us to mirror against a more national perspective. You know, the growth of this show is in national and international policy and politics. I mean, that's true. And it's also in international pop culture, literature, all the goofy stuff that we do from our day-to-day lives. And while Utah is certainly entertaining, and because we're here, we're going to talk about it a lot, whether or not Utah will ever pass a marijuana law, well, a great question would be something you'd want to call Doug Wright with every day. On KSL.
No, because that means you'd have to be listening to KSL.
No, you could just call and ask. That's all. You don't have to listen. Just call them.
Just give them a call and say,
801-575-8255 is Doug's number. Give him a call and ask him about medical marijuana.
What was that number? One more time.
801-575-8255.
Slower.
No. We don't say it slower in the radio biz. So I just wanted you guys to know, I'm reading through the debate you guys had on Forrest's wall. You want to talk about Utah liquor laws being wacky? Okay. When people from all over the country and the world want to book conventions here, they do look at the local culture.
Yeah.
And it is damaging to our revenue, where we have hotel taxes, taxi taxes, airport fee taxes, convention fee taxes, to our hospitality, to bars, restaurants, and all of those. It does. They could be making a whole bunch more money and paying a whole bunch more of their taxes for these Republicans to build more roads in places where we don't need them. You know, I want a monorail. You know, it's okay. The light rail we've got, whatever. I want a monorail.
I want a monorail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they would release their hold on liquor laws and how screwy they are, we'd get more people in from out of town and we could have a monorail. Yeah. Then again, and again, it comes down to whether or not we're telling jokes about local culture. I used to always say that if you put a 5-cent tax on every can of Diet Coke, we could pave the roads of Utah with gold. Because that's what they drink here.
Yeah.
You know, top-selling beverage is Diet Coke.
One of my jobs during college, I was a server, and I swear that was the question that I got more often for people coming in for breakfast. Why can't I have a mimosa? Why can't I have a Bloody Mary? How come I can't order anything other than light beer before noon? You know, people coming in from out of state, they do not understand. And all it does is make us look kooky and loses us all of the potential revenue that we've got from these other states.
Yep. So I want to thank everybody who's sent questions and stuff in so far. I'd like you guys to take more of a national look in your curiosity. Everybody here, we look out. We're all in, except for Eric, which is weird, but all of us have spent time gone or looking at other places we need to live or want to live, you know, and that's, we're for everybody, not just our wonderful local audience. So thanks, Nicole. Thanks, Mo. Thanks, I think April was one of them in there. Nico, etc. Thanks, you guys. Keep the questions coming at theleftshow.com. That's where everything is. We got a great contact forum there. We've got bios on everybody that's on the show. We post links about the things that we're going to be talking about over the weekend and other things that pop up our interest. We're on Tumblr. We're on Twitter. We're on our own site at theleftshow.com. So spend a little bit of time because we're here to communicate.
And it's worth it.
I think so.
There's some really awesome stuff in there. If I can say so myself.
We're not going to spend a lot of time on this because, you know, but a point of contention, friendly contention, between Eric and myself is I am of the opinion that with all this whole debt ceiling crap,
yeah,
that the administration, because they have to keep coming out and explaining that they're being blackmailed, that they're being held hostage, they're always coming out in a defensive posture. And when they do come out on the offense, to me, it feels like weak sauce. And that if Rahm Emanuel hadn't hired a communications bullpen full of, well, let's be honest, chicken shit sissies, spineless little wankers, that we would see Forrest's favorite thing in the world, and that is campaign trail Obama. The guy that we catch small sound bites of on the news now, saying those things that we love to hear as we screamed into 08. Instead of reasonable Obama, who basically the Fourth Estate is painting as, well, as the Republicans try and strong arm their agenda to make more homeless old people, poor people, and hungry children, Obama came out on the defensive and had to explain why he isn't in control of the situation as so.
See, and all that stuff, I mean, it's true, but when it comes down to it, logic doesn't make people... It doesn't inspire people. It doesn't get people to get up off their couches. It doesn't get people moving. But emotions do. And so when Obama can use his voice and inspire people, that's his power.
All right. Here's why Jeff says it's a point of friendly contention between he and myself, because I do disagree with this. I think the game that President Obama is playing is enormously tactful and smart. Because you notice that the Republicans are just getting louder and louder and crazier beyond batshit crazy as they try to get a rise out of him.
But it's working for them.
No, it's not. That's the problem. You look at every...
Their negatives are up, but their positives are up as well.
All right, but...
While his job approval starting to sink again, their job approval... On their negatives, yeah, their negatives are down, but their negatives are down because people think they aren't being assholes enough.
Right. I think this strategy of his would be a failed strategy if he was going to stick to it forever, but I don't think he's going
to.
Dude,
he's got till Tuesday.
No, August 2nd. I'm not talking you know, just about the debt issue. I'm talking just in general. You look at the clown car array that we have of potential GOP nominees, right? You know?
Keep going.
All right. I have background music. This is what I love. See, I can't even...
It's hard to talk over that, isn't it?
See, that is what is coming out because they are trying so hard, I think, to get a rise out of him and make him say something that he's going to regret or is going to sound just as crazy as they are. Whereas if he sticks with being reasonable, with actually approaching things from an intelligent point of view, until they get narrowed down to one idiot, whether it's Romney or whether it's Bachman or Pawlenty or yeah. Rick Perry, and then he can come out with the 07-08 Obama.
Well, and that's fine. But what I'm looking at now and what I'm pissed off about now is that he's been backed into a corner by Eric Cantor and his orange-skinned sidekick, Oompa Loompa Boehner.
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 Boehner. Boehner.
He's giving away the house. He's asking Democrats, cut Medicaid, cut Medicare, cut Social Security. And Obama's, he's putting that pressure on people, Pelosi and Reid, that have proven lately to be unable to put up with any pressure from anybody whatsoever. And so... Okay, his overall strategy for winning in 2012, I'm totally with you. He comes across, and that's where his numbers are up. When you compare him to that bucket full of chuckles that the Republicans are running around with right now, yeah, he's looking great. But when it comes to the fact that in the next week, the Republicans, instead of letting the Bush tax cuts expire, which fixes almost all the budget problems, or stopping giant $10 billion subsidies or something huge. Instead, they're going after the disabled, the old, the poor, and the hungry. That's where the Republicans have now. When you have Obama saying, you know what, we've got to find $2 trillion to cut over the next 10 years to disabled people, old people, veterans.
All right.
You
all
know,
right.
That's where now, I feel that there's a failure is he's coming off soft. Every night he comes up nice and reasonable. I want campaign rhetoric back. I want him to stand up at that podium and go, you know what? Screw these guys. This is who they're hurting, and this is how they're hurting them, and this is why it is immoral and disgusting for John Boehner to be getting the kind of press he's getting, for Eric Cantor to be taken seriously, for Yertle the Turtle McConnell to be able to stand up there and waggle his chins. It's disgusting, immoral behavior, and we're not getting that someone from the administration, or God forbid, the Democratic Congress, either the House or the Senate, should stand up and point. But we didn't, because Anthony Weiner flipped his junk out, and because Alan Grayson can get support from the DCCC because he's too controversial.
All right.
We got
right,
nobody
no,
on the
hang
House
on, hang
floor
on, hang
standing
on, hang
up
on,
for
hang
everybody
on.
Else.
No. But that might be exactly what the Republicans want him to do, and Obama is at his very best when he stands up and says, we don't do this. We're Americans. This is not what we do. He's not at his best when he's pointing fingers at other people.
But we're not getting that either.
No, that's what we're not getting, yeah. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's where he's at his best.
Do the three of us all agree Obama is a good politician?
He's the best candidate I have ever seen in
okay.
my life.
Do we agree he is a very intelligent man?
Yes.
Yes.
Do we agree that the purple people working at the White House are very intelligent people? Whether you agree with their policies or their decisions or not, that these are highly intelligent people? There should be an easy answer.
Probably.
Yes. The answer here is yes. You're incorrect.
Rahm Emanuel's gone, so I'll start to give it to you.
Okay.
Rahm Emanuel can kiss
okay.
my ass any day of the week.
We all know that cutting Medicare, cutting Medicaid, that these are absolute failures before they start. That if it ever actually came to that where it was getting cut heavily, that you were going to see an absolute just revolution
no.
in the
no.
country.
No.
Yes. Yes.
What you're going to do
I
is you're going to watch these
too.
Cuts happen. They're going to the only way to get the revolution you want is to screw a bunch of people that have no way to fight back first. So people get hurt in order for us to win in 2012, where I think we ought to be winning in 2012 due to the fierceness of our resolve
no.
and the fact that we'll get up and fight and stop these things before they happen.
You're making assumptions. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's smart to let these cuts on Medicare and Medicaid go through because it's going to win us.
But when they do, you said they'll start a revolution.
No, I'm throwing out a hypothetical. I'm not relating to that to the 2012 election. What I'm saying is that I have to believe, I really do, because I do have a lot of faith in President Obama, that there is some tact in this to getting Republicans to just sit down at the table and start talking.
And that's what's been behind everything he's done since he's been in office, but it doesn't work.
I do not believe that he will actually let those cuts go through. I don't.
They call it Obamacare. It was, what, a less than 20-page bill that came out at 1,000 pages, and he lets them call it Obamacare. That's bullshit.
Yes. What I'm saying is I do not actually believe that he will let cuts to Medicare and Medicaid happen.
We've got a couple minutes left before you got to go to explore this. And so that is, we're banking on his veto speech.
Yes.
And yet, and this is why I'm worried.
To have the two of you shout at me at the same time, by the way.
I love the man. I am a super supporter. And yet, we still have Guantanamo. We had soft sell language there. We still have, as far as I'm concerned, too many troops in Iraq. We got a soft serve there. We were supposed to be pulling out of Afghanistan, and we've surged instead. Now, I realize he's dealing with other people's problems, but, you know, we still haven't even stopped extraordinary rendition yet. We've just slowed way the hell down.
Now, I am not saying
so that. So I'm looking at a bunch of campaign promises, and yet what I see as an example so far is that the people advising the president are soft and weak. I don't think he is. I think he wants to do the right thing. But when you're in that bubble, you can't wrap your head around that. Holy crap, the entire country is starting to think in wacky ass thoughts, and they are. I love him. I want him to be the man I voted for. And he surrounded himself with Rahm Emanuel's hand-picked choice of sycophants and assholes.
See, I just think that all of this, because I hear this from a lot of people, and, you know, I was not one of those who looked at, you know, Obama is God, Obama is the savior, he's going to come in and fix the country in 30 days. You know, there were a lot of people like that. I was not one of them.
I was giving him 90. He could fix it in 90.
I like to think that I looked at it as a more realistic view of, look, this is the best person I have seen who could come in and at least try to start making sense of this. Because with the way the Republican Party is working right now, this downslide into Insaneville that they are taking, there is just nobody in the country, with maybe the exception of Bill Clinton, who could step into that office at this point and actually fix everything.
Well, look,
so
it's true. He was handed the shittiest job in America. He wanted it.
Yeah.
It was handed it to him. The wrong place, the wrong time.
But right person.
That's where heroes are made, and he could step up and be a hero.
I think
he
could
do that.
Are there things that President Obama has done that I do not disagree in, either the act themselves or the way it was accomplished? Yes, of course. I'm never going to agree 100% with the President of the United States. But I think I cannot think of a better way to approach them than he has. I'm not that smart. I'm not
the way
I'm
he approached the campaign is the way that he should be approaching the American people. Would it change what's happening in the legislature? Not necessarily.
But it would change Americans'
opinions.
No, no.
Really has a way to inspire people.
See, that's
and
crap,
that's what
though.
Gets people out.
No, wait.
Off the couch and gets them to the polls.
Here's the problem. You're saying that he is not approaching things in the same way that he approached them during the campaign.
Exactly.
Yes, he is. He is approaching things exactly the same way that he said he was going to do it.
No, he's
we're
doing
all pissed.
Half of
no,
what
no, no.
he said. He's
we're,
doing
no,
50%
wait, wait.
Measures.
We're all pissed because he's not using the campaign rhetoric that he used. But he said, I'm going to approach things like this. I am not going to be super partisan. I am going to try and work with both parties.
Sure.
I am going to try and make this a purple nation. And
but
now
when,
we're all
when,
furious
at what point
that
do
he
you
didn't...
stop? At what point do you stop acting like everybody is your pal, no matter how many times they kick you in the sack, no matter how many times they stab you in the back, no matter how many times they get up and call you un-American, Kenyan, socialist, communist, death panel, old people hating? How many times?
As long
do you
as
keep
you
going
have
back?
To. If that was his philosophy,
no, it's time
and his...
for him to fight back. What we have is campaign promises that have been cut in half,
if you...
that have been cut in three quarters. It's not his fault.
What
He's
else did you
to
expect
right
to come from somebody who said they were always going to work bipartisanly? If you wanted somebody who was just going to stick to the Democratic gun and say, nope, I am
no,
deep
no,
blue
he
and
told
that's
me
he
it,
was never about
the
sticking
red
to the Democratic gun. He said he was going to fight the Democrats, wasn't. And he has.
He's fought Democrats. He hasn't fought Republicans. He said he was going to do the right thing, and now what he does is he does what the Republicans let him do.
I think
that's
he is trying
find
to work with both sides. If we wanted somebody who is going to be just blue, we should have brought in
I don't
Hillary.
Want a guy that's blue. I want a guy that does right. I want a guy that does what he says he's going to do. He said he'd come in and he'd do the right thing. And instead, what he's done is he's beat the shit out of Democrats and he's let the Republicans walk all over him. That's why we still have a Guantanamo Bay open. That's why we're still kidnapping and torturing people. That's why we have huge unemployment. That's why the fucking Bush tax cuts didn't get expired, because he lets Republicans walk all over him in some freaky little effort to try and maintain the one piece of party rhetoric, that one piece of campaign speech that is totally meaningless in that particular swampy, gassy, humid, backwards culture. In order to give us the one promise, we were kind of like, well, okay, give it a shot, see what happens with that whole bipartisan-y, hopey-changey shit. Because the only hopey-changey thing we're seeing right now, in my opinion, and I agree with you on most of this, I really do. I don't know why I'm raising my voice right now. It's probably just
I don't know, but you sound
it's
like
fun to watch.
But
you
sound
I'm
like
enjoying
Palin.
It.
But it's what I'm seeing right now is a guy who's letting the bad guys kick his ass because he promised he'd play nice.
No.
And at some point, he's got to stop playing nice, and he's got to start playing it like he's doing the right thing. Because that's why his poll numbers are down.
No, see,
there's a chess game in there somewhere. I don't know where it is, but there's a chess game in there somewhere.
And all I see here is the continuation of, you know what, during our 4 to 8 years, we're going to go super Democratic. During their 4 to 8 years, they're going to go super Republican.
Yeah, but there's a difference between right and left and right and wrong, and I want right and wrong.
I think the president is building a base to change politics in general. To try and stop all this partisan hackery. And you know what? It's not going to happen under him. Even if he gets elected to a second term, it's going to take more than 8 years to get this done. But I think he is building the foundation and the structure to try and transcend all this bullshit.
I think
he can try all he wants, but he's got the Tea Party on the other side that is just
well, and
they're not. They're not. You're right.
That just takes us back to the whole thing of you've got a tiny minority of the GOP and the Tea Party that makes
but
the best
loud.
Film. They're only loud because we have a lazy fourth estate. And we're going to leave it there because Eric's got to go and he wants to do his sign-off.
I don't have a sign-off.
Are you kidding me? After all that, you don't even have a sign-off?
I could if I think about it. Talk for 2 minutes and I'll come up
but
with
But hey, you know
one.
What? What this does is it basically draws us to a great point to keep debate open. For folks to pop over to www.theleftshow.com and leave their comments, leave their opinions, write us letters. What do you like? What do you not like? You know, we're not going to solve this in the hour that we've set aside for ourselves. We all agree that we're trying to get to a better place, and there's more debate needed.
There's a metaphor there.
Somewhere. I'm not going to go find it. I got dinner upstairs, and I've had enough of the smell of you two. So... thank you, gentlemen, for joining me once again in the Defenestrate Media Group's headquarters studio.
We got to get out of here.
We got to get a bigger office.
We got to get out of this place.
Someplace with air conditioning.
That would be a good start.
Yeah.
All right. Say goodnight, ladies.
I swear I'm not a pedophile, slave owner, or racist.
Good night, ladies.
Was that his sign off? It sounds suspicious.
Or a witch.
You are a witch.